Welcome to week number four of our series, Freedom. We're finishing up the series. We're coming out now of the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Just been an amazing 3 weeks. Just been an incredible 21 days. In my own life, I know in the life of our church, we've just had so many answered prayers, so many different things that God has done. Man, one of them, it was just amazing. We started praying for it. A boy in Honduras had gone missing. And at the 6 a.m. prayer, Pastor Julio came in and he announced it and we all started to pray. 6:20, he got back up and said he had the call. They'd found the boy. And it was like, it was just to build faith as we went through just so many other answered prayers. We'll tell you about them in the coming weeks just to build our faith. Just been an incredible time. But I want you to begin to anticipate that 2019 is going to be an incredible year. Not just we had great 3 weeks, but that we started it right. We started it with the days of prayer and fasting. And then next week, we're going to start a brand new series on relationships. And that is, it's not just romantic, all right, everybody? I know it's February. I know that is the theme of the month or whatever it is. If you want to stay married, that is the theme of the month, right? But not just romantic. We're going to touch on every type of relationship, from friendships to marriages to business relationships to in-laws. Somebody say amen, right? We're going to hit all the different types of relationships, because whether you like it or not, your life, a large part of your life, is the sum total of your relationships. Unless you are that lucky man, wise man who lives on top of the mountain, right? You have to deal with people. You have to deal with people. It's just a part of who you are. So why not find out what God has to say about them? Why not say what God has to say about relationships? So I promise you will enjoy that. It's going to be an awesome few weeks. We're going to have a lot of fun. So get ready for that. And then today, we told you baptisms are after service. If you've never been baptized post-decision, after you chose God, after you decided to become a Christian, if you haven't had that decision, you haven't been baptized, I encourage you, make today your day. We got shorts, we got shirts out there. If you want me to baptize you, I'll throw on, I'll get in my jeans and baptize you. I don't care. We would love to baptize you, let you have that decision. And just saying that in front of the church body. Hey, this is the decision that I've made. All right, so we have everything out there for you. No excuses. We got towels, we got plenty of towels. We'd love to baptize you today. And so another thing that you'll notice around here this morning, and I kind of thought about how to say this, you'll notice the air is kind of different around here this morning. The people, a lot of our people, a lot of our ministry heads, pastoral staff, we're all coming off our fasts, right? And so people are just, they're happier, right? They're not as grumpy. They're not as thing. A whole bunch of you got reintroduced to your good friend, Mr. Caffeine, right? And so you are, I don't know, the air is different. The sun is brighter. The grass is greener, right? It's just a good day to be alive, all right, everybody? And so you remember last week I told you that I had bought 16 bags of bacon chips, right? Bacon cheddar chips that I was gonna, and about 5 or 6 of you found me this week. And a few of you asked me, okay, where do I buy them? A few of you just asked me straight up, can I have some? And so this morning, everybody, all right, I brought a surprise for you this morning, all right? I brought bag number 16 to share, all right, everybody? So you can find me after. My fast ends after the sermon today, all right? So you can find me after the sermon, and we can share, all right? It's going to be a good day today in Jesus' name. I thought about having a bowl of them up here, but I don't have the self-control for that. So we're going to put them right over there, all right, everybody? So just going to put them out of sight, out of mind. Not out of my mind, I can promise you right now, all right? But we're going to jump to the conclusion of our series today, all right? We're going to jump right to it. We're going to read a verse we've been reading the last 3 weeks. Some of you are still looking over here. Up here, everybody. Don't look over there. If you look over there, I'm going to look over there. 3 weeks, all right? We've been reading this verse, been studying out of it in the book of John, chapter 8 for our series, Freedom. And it says, to the Jews who had believed him, so these are Jewish believers. They've already believed in Jesus. These are Christians. He's already talking to them. He says, to those who are Christians, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. All right, so he said, if you hold to my teachings, you're my disciples. Good job, right? Good job. You've chosen God. You've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You've submitted. You believe what he's saying is true. He says, you're my disciples. You're a Christian. That's great. But then look what it says. It says, then you will know the truth. That then means, okay, then there's a process. A lot of people think salvation is the end of the line. Well, it's the end of the journey. It's actually the beginning of the journey. Salvation is the beginning of this incredible journey of life that I'm excited that we're going to go on as a church. And so Jesus said, here's what's more is available to you. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So a lot of truth is going to enter in your place. We talked about that in the series. That it's a process, and we're replacing a bunch of lies with truth. And so he said, then you will know the truth. And it's the scripture says it in one place. It says we're changed from glory to glory, this process. And that's just a fancy way. A better way to think of it maybe is level to level. So you're changing. You're going different. You're progressing as you go to eternity. As you make your way towards that, you're progressing. Maybe think about it this way is you're already on the mountain. All right. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You're on the mountain. But there's a different view if you keep climbing. There's a different view available to you. There's a different life to lead if you keep growing and you keep letting truth replace the lies. And so Jesus said, if you know truth, the truth will set you free. So this upsets these Christians, right? So watch this. They answered him. These are the Jewish believers. We're Baptist and we're Presbyterian and we're charismatic. We've been saved, right? We've been Christians a long time, Jesus. What are you talking about? Slaves. We're Christians. We've never been slaves of anybody. How can you say that we're going to be set free? We've been Christians a long time. There's a difference. We're not slaves. We've been set free. By the way, you cannot be free indeed unless you first think that you can indeed be in bondage. Because they didn't think that they could. You can't experience the free indeed part unless you realize that you can be in bondage. They didn't think they could. They said, Jesus, wait, we can't talk about slavery. Jesus says, very truly I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And so in that case, he brought back a lot of people in the congregation kind of checked out, right? A lot of people in his sermon right there, they kind of just checked out and said, well, we believe we're, you know, sons and daughters, we're Christians. They kind of checked. He brings them back into it. He says, no, everybody who sins is a slave to it. In which case they say, well, yeah, a lot of them were saying, well, okay, then yeah, I have that area in my life. I have that thing that I struggle with. I've got that thing that I wish wasn't in my life. My life would be a whole lot better if it wasn't there. I got that thing that keeps coming back. And so the question of this series, and the problem, I guess you could say with that, and Jesus gives us the problem there, but the question of the series is, how can we get that out of our lives? Look what Jesus says. He says, but now a slave has no permanent place in the family. In other words, you're not getting everything that God has for you to do, everything that God has for you to live out. Like, you're going to heaven, but you're not living any kind of life here on earth. God said you're going to have an abundant life here on earth. You're supposed to be experiencing the power of God in your life right now. And if you're a slave to sin, you're not experiencing that. The Bible says they might get into heaven, right, with fire scorching their... You might make it to heaven, but man, you're not living any kind of life that God has called you to live here on this earth. So the question of this journey, the question of this series is, can we attack that area? If I can make it as simple as possible, can we attack that area that plagues us? That thing that keeps showing up on our resolution list year after year? That thing that we have given up on? That thing that we said, can we get this out of our... The idea of this series is, can we be free indeed? Can we be free from it? And the answer is a resounding yes. You can be free indeed. And so watch this. In week one, we tried to explain to you how you are made up of parts. You're made up of different parts of your life. You have the soul, the body, and the spirit. How the soul and the body are your flesh part, and how the spirit's what connects with God, and how those are at war within you, right? And the soul and the body, I want to do what is wrong, and the spirit wants to do what is right. You've seen this play out in cartoons, where, right, they have a little angel on one shoulder, a little devil on the other, and they're fighting. Everybody knows how this plays out in your life, where one is fighting against the other to do what is right. And so in week one, we expose how you've got to start. You can take a quantum leap in your journey to let your spirit start to grow by prayer and fasting. And so we took these 21 days and you pray and you let your spirit connect with God. But then you take 21 days and you consciously put aside the things of the flesh, things of your body and your soul, the things that you want to do, the things that try to do. You try to silence those voices so your spirit can hear God. And you just take a leap forward. It is amazing what will happen. People have given me testimonies already from these 21 days. It's amazing what will happen when you silence those other voices. And you say, God, I want to hear from you. A lot of you say, I can't hear God. God's not clear. Probably because there's too many other voices speaking into your life. So that was week one. And we talked on that. Then week two, we just explained to you that the only weapon that the enemy, the devil, has against you is lies. He's just a liar. And that's what Jesus gave him his job description as. You're just a liar, the father of all lies. All he can do is lie to you. And so we exposed some of those lies and how you can replace them with the truth. And then in week three, we looked at, well, if the enemy is a liar and we've cast him out of our life, well, then how do we close the doors? And we looked at three different doors that he always tries to come back through. And if you leave them open, a door or a window, you leave a crack, the devil can come back and have a stronghold or a foothold in your life. And so we exposed those in week three. Today, we take a completely different journey. And that is not only how to be free, but then how do you maintain that freedom? How do you stay free? Because a lot of us have experienced freedom during these 21 days from a whole host of things, just all these things. And this series, it's going to work for a while. It's going to work for a while that you've experienced freedom, you've gone. It's going to work for a little bit, but then we're all going to go back. Not in Jesus' name, but we're all going to go back. The problem with that is, and Jesus predicts this in the Bible. This is probably one of the worst verses in the Bible, right? This is not one you put on your fridge, not one you tape up and, you know, share with your friends and all the rest of this. It's just a bummer verse, all right? This is just... Watch this. Jesus said, what did Jesus? When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest. So when you've been set free and it leaves you, it's seeking rest and it does not find it. Then it says horrible words, right? I will return. It's talking about your life. If it comes out, it says, I will return to where I came from, to the house I left, to your life. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept and put in order. So you're saying like, man, I've got my act together this year, right? 2019 is going to be the best year yet. I'm free. I've been set free. God has set me free. I'm ready. I'm going. But watch what happens. This is terrible. It says, then it goes and takes seven other spirits, not on your fridge. All right, everybody, more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. It says the spirit goes, what are you saying, Jesus? He's saying, he's basically warning us of the dynamic that most people are not aware of. It's not a verse that often gets preached. Most people are not aware of this dynamic. Let me say it this way. It doesn't have to be this way. Jesus is not saying this verse so that he's telling you, well, this is going to happen. He's warning you so that it doesn't happen. It's a warning verse to us. So that if it does, when you have prepared your life, you are saying 2019, I am free, I'm doing. He's warning you of what can happen. And so just know that when you think you've experienced freedom, don't think that the freedom fight is over. Because your enemy is coming back. He's going to try to come back again and again and again. And that's not a problem if you're aware of it. And if you know what to do when that happens. So that's my job this morning, all right? It's to let you know what to do when that happens, to prepare you. And to be clear, though, something I know that you'll be able to identify, this cycle takes place everywhere. Not just in Christians, in governments, in nations, in marriages, in individuals. It takes place everywhere. You see this over and over and over. And I enjoy history, all right? I got a degree in it. I like this concept of history and reading church history and nations and things. And there's a cycle that continues to happen in nations on the earth and in governments and in just individual lives all over the earth. And that is that all of us long for freedom. We long for this word, freedom. It's in the heart of every, we long, all of us have a little blue face, brave heart in our hearts, right? Just free, nobody's all right. Just freedom that we long for and a desire that doesn't want to stay in the condition that we're in. And so God has put that in our hearts. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord, so God has put that in our hearts not to stay in the condition that we're in. He'll stir it inside of you that, man, my life doesn't have to look this way. I don't have to stay a slave to that. It's that idea for freedom. Now, every place, though, that there is freedom, that person experiences this next step of the cycle, and that is prosperity. And you see this in nations, you see this in people, you see this in marriages, you see this in, and not just prosperity monetarily, but just prosperity in life in general. Just, well, there's a prosperity, just like life is better. So you accomplish freedom, and then there's a prosperity that comes after that. And you say, well, just my life, my marriage is better, man, my relationships are better, just everything is better. And the problem with prosperity is that it often breeds pride and complacency. And so prosperity will breed pride and complacency. In other words, you let your guard down. And we all do it. You let your guard down. Like, wow, we're doing great now. And so that how that plays out in governments is this idea of, well, just spend, spend, spend. We got enough money. We got business is great. Economy is good. We're just going to spend, spend because it's everything is good. And you see that prosperity. You see that in our own government. That's why they only take in about 60% of the spending in taxes. And then they borrow about 40%. How would you like that if you did that in your own household, right? Your income was only 60% of your spending and you just borrowed 40% of everything. That's what puts us in the problem that we're in right now. Because once you get into that freedom, it brings prosperity. And once you get in prosperity, you got that pride and complacency where everything's just great and happy to do that. And that always leads back to bondage. It always leads back. You can see it in marriages. You can see it in individual lives. You see this cycle that it leads back and the process continually repeats itself. And so we don't want it to repeat itself in our lives. We want to be free indeed, like the verse says, right? We want to go after that area. We want to be free from it. We don't want this cycle of freedom, then prosperity, then bondage to play itself out in our marriages and our families. We don't want to go back. And if you read church history, you realize the early church, it happened to them as well. That this cycle, it happened to them. If you remember in the Old Testament, the law was hard. I don't know if you've ever read through or reading through it right now in our Bible readings and our daily readings. The Old Testament law was hard. God gave it to them and they couldn't do it. They just couldn't keep it. In fact, God probably put that institution, it says, in place because of that. You want to have a religion where it's based on your efforts. You will never be able to do it. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why Jesus had to come and to die. And he gives us that power now to fulfill it in freedom, to go after God with everything that's within us. And so you read that whole Old Testament where it's just law after law after law. And they're in that bondage. And then Jesus comes and that gospel of freedom has been brought. And the early church, they accept it wholeheartedly. Man, they go after that gospel of freedom in Jesus, where then you are empowered to fulfill that, to please God with your life. That's why Jesus had to come, so that we are now able to please God, because the blood of Jesus covers us. And we'll talk about that a little later in the sermon, but nothing a written law could do. Nothing that a written law could do. Jesus accomplished it. But then the Old Testament church, they go back. They went back because they couldn't handle the freedom. They couldn't handle the freedom that God had given them. So the Apostle Paul has to write an entire book, the book of Galatians, to address this problem. He has to write the entire book. And by the way, we're going to do a study on the book of Galatians a little later this year, but I'll give you a preview out of chapter 5. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So that's why God has set you free, for freedom. And he says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You see the cycle. He says, well, you had freedom and prosperity, and now you're going back to the slave. Don't let yourselves go back. Don't go back under that yoke of slavery. So the question of the day is, all right, you got me convinced. I want that area out of my life. I want to stay free. You convinced me. How? How do I do that? Well, here's how freedom is brought into your life, and there's two types, and you need both. There's two ways that freedom comes, and you need both. Freedom is both a moment where God frees you. That's what this series is about. It's a moment. If I could just bring you to that moment, 21 days of prayer and then 4-part series and all these things, it's all so you can have that moment where God touches you. And the biblical word for that is deliverance. The biblical word for that is deliverance, that God is going to deliver you. Deliverance is a moment. It's a moment where you finally accept that God is telling the truth when he says that he has made you free. And you are free. In that moment, you are free. But freedom is not just a moment. It's also a process. And it's in this word, discipleship. It's in this word, discipleship. In order for you to stay free, you got to go on a journey. You got to go on a process. And we have built this process into what we do as a church. Into who we are as a church. Next week, we launch our new small groups. We launch our small groups. And it's very simple. You can look at the paper and you can figure out which group you want to be in. That part of it's very simple. But all of you have to be in a group. Because it fulfills a part of this breaking of the cycle that I'm talking about. Every single group, every group that we offer. Let me say it this way. So all groups, I don't care what they're meeting for. So if it's make a budget and get out of debt, or it's flag football or basketball, or it's studying a book of the Bible, or it's just coffee and games, or it's a bonfire. I don't care what the group is. They all fulfill this purpose, that they take you through the process, that freedom is not just a moment. It's a process in your life. All right, to illustrate this kind of point this morning, I thought of a vehicle. I wanted to have a vehicle to deliver this message. And so it's a story out of the book of Luke that Jesus tells. And it's the story of the prodigal son. And so I think it's going to get this point across to you this morning. And I pray this for your life. I've been praying 21 days for this point to get across to you. And it's out of the prodigal son story. And a lot of you know this story, but if you don't, I just want to kind of refresh your memory. All right. It's a beautiful story in Luke 15. And we're going to start to read it. Jesus continued. He's telling a story. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger one said to his father, Father, he says something very inappropriate here, by the way. He says, Father, give me my share of the estate. Give me my inheritance. He comes to the father. He says, give me my inheritance, which would have been wildly inappropriate in that day. The father gives it at his own discretion. Right, some of you fathers say amen. The father gets out, but this father is gracious and generous. And so he divided the property, and watch this, between them. And so he said, well, I'm not just going to give it to you. I'm going to go ahead and divide it. File that away in your mind, all right? We're going to come back to it. It says, not long after, the younger son got together all that he had, took all of that, and he set off for a distant country. So he leaves, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And so in drinking, in partying, in prostitutes, he goes off to this far country, and he wastes everything that the father gave him. And wouldn't you know it, after he lost all his money, there was a severe famine in that whole country. So there you got it again, right? Freedom, prosperity, right back into bondage. You see it in everybody's story. There's a whole famine, and something happens in his life that has to happen in your freedom process. And that is, you've got to come to a place, the only way that you can be free, you've got to come to a place where you admit that you're in need. You've got to come where you've got to admit it. And a lot of people are like, no, I do better by myself. And just, I don't mind God knowing, but I'm not going to admit it to other people. I need everybody else to kind of know that I've got it going on. But like, God and I are good. We're going to do it. And you will always stay in bondage if you make that choice. If you make that choice. A lot of people just, they don't want it. The one of the key secrets of freedom, and this is very difficult, by the way, even especially for men to accept, is you have to come to that place where you say, okay, I've messed up, I need help. One of the very key, you can't start the road to freedom until you realize and admit that you have a problem. You admit that you need help. And this is so hard, especially for a man who's the head of his family and he wants them to think, well, I'm providing for them and I've got this going on and I can do this by myself and I just want to give that facade. It's so hard to give up on that and say, I need help. And this is true for anybody, not just men, for any individual to come to a place where you say, okay, I have to admit I need help. Watch what happens in the story of the prodigal son. So he went and he didn't get help. He hired himself out. He said, well, I'm going to do this on my own. To a citizen of that country, he got a job with someone who didn't help him, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs are. He's eating pig food, which will happen, by the way, if you try to fix your life by yourself, you try to break your chains on your own. And no one gave him anything. Nobody gave him anything. And here's the key phrase here. Here's what I wanted to turn on. When he came to his senses. Amen. When he came, and I am begging with you this morning. There has to come a place, if you want to be free, there has to come a place in your life where you just decide, okay, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I'm not going to live this way. I can't have this. I need freedom. When you finally just come to that place, God will let you run as far as you want to run. And you end up eating pig food, working with pig. And when he came to his senses, I don't know who this is for this morning, but when he came in your life, when you finally decide, okay, enough is enough. I'm not going to play macho man anymore. I'm not going to play superhero woman anymore. I've come to the end of my rope. I've come to the end of it all. When you come to your senses, it might not be this morning, but I implore you, at some point, you're going to go too far and you're going to realize, okay, enough is enough. I need help. And if you want to start your faith, he came to his senses. And watch what happens. He said, how many of my father's servants, what am I doing here in the pig pen? How many of my father's servants have food to spare? And I'm here starving to death. He comes to his senses. He said, I'm going to return. And I say to everybody, you'll never be free unless you admit that you have a problem. It's a huge step in your Christian journey. Now, I'm a person too, all right? I'm a person. I get it. I realize that this is something nobody wants to do. I mean, who wants to come to everybody and be like, look, I messed up, everybody. Like, just look at me, laugh at me. Who wants to come there and say, look, I'm messed up and I need help? Nobody wants to admit that. And it's really something probably that you don't know about our small groups. And that is the secret. A lot of people think that we have small groups so that you'll have another Bible study to go to. Or that, like, you have another thing on your agenda or something else that you can go and have fun or do. I mean, a lot of people think that that's why we have Bible studies or we have small groups or we have any kind of thing that we do. That there's like a curriculum that we want you. It's not about the curriculum, like, at all. I don't care. I've never said no. I think in the history of our church, I've never said no to any small group idea. And we've had some off the wall ones, all right, everybody? I've told the team, just let them meet however they want to meet. Because it's in small groups that relationships are formed. That second part of the freedom that I told you, discipleship, that happens in small groups. That's where authentic and true relationships are formed. And that's why you can be there then, because you've joined a group. You can be there when somebody else says, hey, can I just talk with y'all? Can I just say something? And you're sitting back thinking that you've got that in your life. And it gives you boldness to say, okay, well, yeah, I'm struggling with this in my own life. In fact, C.S. Lewis said in one of his books that friendship is born at that moment when someone looks at another and says, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. That's when friendship is born. That's when relationships happen. It's at a place, it's an environment where you can just say, okay, I'm messed up, guys. I've got to admit this. I need help with this. And you'll never experience freedom until you can get yourself to that environment. It doesn't have to be here. You have to have that type of environment where you can say, you know what, guys, this is what I'm dealing with. It doesn't even have to be the whole group, all right? You can just kind of pick a couple of guys in the group that look way worse off than you are, right? And take them outside and say, guys, I know you guys look pretty messed up. Can I just talk with you? Can I just admit some things a little bit? I'm telling you, great things are going to happen in your life. I promise you it's going to happen. You want to know how your life is going to be changed. It is not the great preaching, and it hurts my feelings a little bit to say that this morning, all right? It's not. It's not the great music. It'll hurt Nick's feeling a little bit to say that. Life change happens in true and authentic relationships. When God is able to work through an authentic relationship with other people, with people of God, it is, that is where your life will change. And I want that for you so bad. I will create any type of group possible to give you that environment where you can feel safe in that and say, okay, I'm dealing with this. I admit I have a struggle with this. I need help. And so the second point, and that is you get into that environment where you can humbly repent. And repent probably doesn't mean what you think it does. So hang on with me. All right. Just kind of hang in there with me. But humbly repent. And notice what we put to God and others. Because I want to show you something in this verse in Luke 15. I want to explain this. He said, I'll set out and I'll go back to my father, said this is the prodigal son. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against God, and against you. He realized that he wasn't going to just do. A lot of people think, and it's a misconception about this step, that man, you know, in this humbly repentance, man, me and God, we got this. I don't need anybody else in this process. You know, I've had these kind of things. And so when I humbly repent, God and I had this. God's not going to help you that way because he designed the system differently. And if you're not following his process, God has the biggest role in it. He does what people cannot do, but people have a role in your repentance as well. I'm going to show it to you in scripture. God created you and God can forgive your sins, which people cannot do. 1 John 1:9, we're faithful to confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God can forgive our sins. That's God's role. People can't forgive you. But then the verse doesn't say, and then you'll never do it again. No, you'll do it again unless you do the second part of this. You confess your sins. James chapter 5 and verse 8 and verse 16, he says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. And watch what happens. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. So you're not forgiven in that instant. Only God forgives your sins. But it says confess your sins to each other, to another person of God's children, so that you can be healed from that thing. You wonder why you go before God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And then you go right back to it because you're not taking the next step in the process. And I know it's hard for you to hear. Come back next week. We'll be nicer next week. I promise. All right, everybody. Yeah, I promise we'll be nicer now. Power comes into the process. You've confessed to God for forgiveness and to God's people for healing. You want to be healed of that thing. You want to be stay free. It comes in this what we call small groups in the Bible. Confess to one another to be healed. You want to stay free. This is God's process for that. Because then it gives you a chance, a place to go and say, okay, that person, what they're saying is right. And I hear that and I'm listening. Now I'm confessing it and I'm getting right. And now I have accountability. I have somebody who's standing with me, somebody who's praying with me. Now I can be free. And I want to give you that environment, that place to do it. I can't say it any simpler, guys. You got to be in a group. You got to have somewhere where people say, hey, I know them and they know me. They know me. Not the face that I put up, not the mask. They know who I really am. Man, we walk through this together. And then repenting, it's just a misunderstood word. It, actually, in the Greek, in your Bibles, the manuscripts of your New Testament were written in Greek. In the Greek, it's actually two words. It's kind of mashed up together. And it's the word metanoia. And it's really the word meta, which means change. So like metamorphosis, and noia, which means mind. And so it literally means change your mind. To repent means to change. It's not just, oh, God, I'm so sorry. That's a part of it, but it's a very small part. It means to change your mind. Now, any of us knows this, right? The way your mind works does not change in just a second. It's a process that we have to take. That's why only groups can give us that dynamic of, can you walk with me through this? Can you disciple me through this? Every single one of our leaders know this. Man, we are just ready. And it's not a judgment thing. It is a confess your sins and be healed type of thing. I want this so badly for you in your freedom. And so you wonder why you go and say, sorry, God, I'm sorry. God, why didn't you help me? Because you didn't follow the process. You didn't follow the process. And then you can do the last two things in this process. And these are the maintenance side of it that you have to have in your life. And I'm going to tell you, even though you go through this, even though you have these moments and you have discipleship, the lies are still going to come from the devil. He's still going to lie. I hate to tell you this. He's still going to sit in your ear and just say, well, yeah, but you know you still did that. And you know what? You know you're still this and you're still that. And I hate to tell you, the lying is never going to stop. In fact, some of you, by the time you hit the parking lot today, you're going to have heard another one of his lies. By the time you get to work in the morning, I guarantee that you will have heard one of his lies. He will lie to you. Watch it in the story. It's a part of the story, by the way, that a lot of people don't read. But it's actually a really cool part of the story. A lot of people just get kind of to the three ways through and then they're done, right? But watch this. After the son is going home, it says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. So the prodigal son has come home and the father's thrown a party. And the older son's in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing and everybody going crazy. And watch this. He called one of the servants and he said, what's good? What's happening in the house? Why is the music? And the servant said, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And watch this. The older brother gets into bondage right here. All right, everybody. Older brother goes straight into bondage. He gets angry and he refused to go in. And so the father comes out and he pleads with him. He gets angry. He said, you've been doing all this. I've been here forever. Watch what he says. All right. He said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. That's a funny word right there, all right, everybody? That's just a funny. He said, look, all these years I've been slaving. I was at a friend's house one time when I was younger, and we were just playing a thing, and he had a younger brother who the father came into the room, and the dad just said, hey, I need you to go and do this to the younger brother. And the younger brother looked at him. We're all sitting around, looked up at him. He said, we're not your slaves. I mean, you know, there was a come to Jesus meeting in that house that day, right? How many ever been at somebody else's house when there's a come to Jesus meeting, right? And you just want to crawl under the carpet and just come out when the feathers stop flying, right? You just like I know we do that in my house, but I didn't know you do it in your house, right? You do that kind of, it was a good time, right? But he said, I've been slaving for you and I never disobeyed. Watch the extreme words he used. I never disobeyed your orders. Now, unless he's Jesus, he just lied right there. All right, everybody. Yet you never, right? You killed the fattened, this brother is in bondage. He killed the fatted calf for him, right? This son of yours who's out there been wasting your money and his inheritance on drugs and prostitutes and doing all this. He comes home and you kill the fatted calf and you never gave me even a young goat. You never gave me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Now, why he wanted the goat, I don't know. All right. I don't know why he would want to have a goat, but he has these extremes. He said, you remember the part of the story that I told you to remember. All right. You remember that part of the story that at the beginning he divided the inheritance between both of them. Younger than, and what you have to know about Jewish culture is, in that day, you would have given the older son double the inheritance of what you gave the younger son. So he gave the older son, he would have given the younger son 1/3, and he gave the older son 2/3. He's talking about, you never gave me a goat. I never gave you a goat. I gave you 2/3 of the company, son. Right? You're talking about a goat. I gave you flocks of goats. If I was the father, this whole verse would have been written a whole lot differently, right? Would have been a real whole lot. You're talking about a goat. I gave you 2/3. So the father says in the next verse, he says, son, you are with me and everything I have is yours. Not just the 2/3, but everything I have is yours. And father pleads with him. I'm telling you right now, that son had believed a lie. You talk about the power of a lie in somebody's life. And I hate to tell you, the enemy's never going to stop. He's never going to stop lying to you. First, that lie of, I've never done anything wrong. Well, yes, you have. Man, that's about the funny. That's the easiest counseling session I'll ever have, right? If you just, I've never done anything. I never disobey. Yes, you have. The father explains. He said, everything I have is yours. Not just the 2/3. Everything I've got. And that's that third point. We've got to daily reject Satan's lies. In your own life, you want this process of freedom. We have to daily make that choice to reject his lies. And then number four, we daily choose to receive God's truth. We daily receive. A lot of you don't even know what that truth is. A lot of you have never heard it before in your life. I want to show it to you. I want to give you some truths this morning. Because a lot of you have never heard this before. Luke 15, verse 22. It says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring, and this is what God wants to speak into your life this morning. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. God wants to give you three things this morning. The first one, that is the robe. It's the robe of righteousness. That sounds like a fancy biblical word. So let me just make it kind of come alive for you today. And Isaiah says he clothes you in righteousness. You want to hear a truth? You don't see things as they are. You see things as you are. Let me say it a different way. Maybe that didn't make sense. You see things, the way you see things is through the prism of how you see yourself. And so that's why it is vitally important that you begin to see yourself not as you see you, but as God sees you. You may have a view because you view everything else through that prism. And I want to tell you this morning, God has a view. You say, well, I'm this or I'm that. No. God has a view of you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And when he sees you, he sees no sin. You are covered in the blood of Jesus. You have to begin to see yourself. He has put a robe on you, the robe of righteousness. And when God sees you, he sees no sin. He sees what Jesus did on the cross. You are the robe of righteousness. He's taken care of that sin. And you've got to see yourself the way that Jesus sees you. You want a truth in your life. You want to begin to believe truth. Replace those lies. See yourself the way that God sees you. And then he gives him the ring of authority. puts that ring on his finger. If you've ever seen an old Roman movie like a Ben-Hur or something like that, right? This is how they did it back then. It was a family ring. It was a signet of the family house. They didn't have credit cards. This was the credit card, all right? You've seen those old movies where they make like a clay agreement. They write down the contract. And then that person steps forward with the ring and they press it and they pull it back. And that seal, that is their credit card. That is their authority. That is what they're speaking with. And you may not know this. You may know it. You may not. And you need to know this. Is that you have his ring on. You have the greatest credit card in the history. You have the greatest name in the universe, the name of Jesus, and you need to use it. You have that ring on your finger. He's put the robe of righteousness, and you have his ring on. And it'll happen so many times, someone will come up to me, you know, oh, Ben, Pastor Ben, I want you to pray for me. Like I'm the only one who has the ring, right? Like I'm just the only one who's wearing. And what I'll usually say is, I'd love to pray with you, and I want to agree with you. But you wear the ring as well, and you've got to know it. Some of you forgot all about that, right? You forgot all. And so I'll pray with you, and I'll believe with you. You wear the ring as well. The ring of his authority, it's his name, Jesus Christ. And so when you say over your family, in the name of Jesus, devil, you have to leave my life, he has to leave. When you say the name of Jesus, he has to go in Jesus' name. And so some of you are saying, well, he keeps coming back. He's just still there. He's still there, right? He's not still there. The problem is you believe the lie that he's still there in your own life, and you've forgotten whose ring it is that you wear. When you say over your family, devil, you have to go in Jesus' name. Satan, you have to flee in Jesus' name. You know what happens? He starts saying, no, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm not gone. No, I'm not going anywhere. I am right here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not gone. I'm not leaving. I'm not gone. But he is gone. He's gone in Jesus' name. Man, he's out of your life in Jesus' name. That's not caffeine, everybody. That's 21 days of prayer right there. That's what that is. He's gone in Jesus' name. And so you got to remember whose ring you wear on your finger. Now, I apologize if you're new to our church. We're not always like this, all right? So next week we'll be. Some of you don't even know the gifts that you have. You don't even recognize that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You wear his ring on your finger. You have the authority. When you use Jesus' name, you have that authority. I have no special place with God. I have no special place over anybody else with God. You wear the ring. You wear the authority. And then he did something that I pray will happen. I pray it's going to happen for you this morning. The third one. Because that son would have come home and his feet would have been cracked and bleeding. And with worse, he'd have been in a pigsty for I don't know how many months. He would have come home smelling with all that grossness on his feet. That's why in the Old Testament, they used to walk around with bare feet. And so they would, when you would go into a house, the first thing they would do is wash your feet. The father takes it a step further. And he puts these sandals on his feet so there would be comfort again. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God. It talks about feet shod with the gospel of peace. God wants to put peace back into your life. He's giving you that robe of righteousness. He's giving you the ring of authority. But he wants to bring peace back into your life. He wants to give you that. I want to end with something a little bit different this morning. Something that we don't normally do around here. But I'm sorry if it feels a little aggressive. I've never done this, by the way. I felt led this morning. I just want to pray a prayer over you as a church. I just want to pray a freedom prayer over you. And I put a part of it over here on the side of the stage. We printed it out. Because I want you to be able to take that home and pray it over your own families, over your own lives, whenever you want. Put it in your Bible. But man, I want to pray this over you. And I'm sorry if it seems a little too aggressive or whatever. If you want to receive this, as a spiritual authority in this house, I have that authority to join with you in this prayer. And so I want to pray this over you and over your families. And if you want to receive this, if you do, and again, I'm not forcing this on anybody. I just want to pray this freedom prayer. If you want to receive this, just bow your heads with me and just open your hands. Just open your hands right now. And I just want to pray this over you. Father, we bow today in praise and worship, God, before you. And Lord, we completely and unreservedly surrender ourselves to every area of our life. Today, God, we take our stand against the working of Satan in our lives. In Jesus' name, I resist all those endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob this church of the will of God. So I stand with them right now, God, against every spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hate, malice, envy, jealousy, any spirit of insecurity or inferiority, fear or rejection, God. self-pity, self-hate, anger, rage, murder, violence. In Jesus' name, we break the power of sexual immorality, impurity, adultery, fornication, lust, and pornography. God, we break the spirits of pride, the lying spirits, the rebellion, God, deception, manipulation, control, criticism, and judgmentalism. God, right now in Jesus' name, every spirit of arrogance, prejudice, racism, greed, materialism, and selfishness, covetousness, God, every spirit of selfish ambition, I break the power of depression today in Jesus' name. Every anxiety, worry, suicidal thought, you have to go in Jesus' name. Self-hate, self-destruction, addiction, dependency, alcoholism, drunkenness, drugs, and obesity, rebellion to authority, religious pride, heresy, false doctrine, stealing, slothfulness, laziness and unbelief, guilt, shame, embarrassment, humiliation. In Jesus' name, I break the hold you have. Every negative word that's been spoken over you, in Jesus' name, I replace them with the truth of God. Every harsh word that's been spoken to you, in Jesus' name, I replace it with the truth of His word. In His name, I break every curse or spell, witchcraft, the occult, blasphemy, sickness, disease, infirmity, and chronic illness, generational curses, issues. God, I break your power in Jesus' name. Today we choose to be transformed by the renewing of our mind to believe what God has said about us. To believe the truth He has spoken over us. We pull down every thought, every lie that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and we loosen ourselves a sound mind, the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Lord, we thank you. Now come on, believe it. Believe it this morning. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We praise you, God, for what you've done. We praise you, God. Now stay with me this morning. You can stand. Stand up with me. Bow your heads this morning. As you stand, bow your heads and close your eyes. Man, you might be here this morning and you say, Ben, I want that in my life. I'm the prodigal son still in the pig pen. I want to come back. The part of the story where the prodigal son comes home and it says the father sees him far off. And he runs to him. He runs to him. You say, I want that in my life. If that's you this morning, you say, I'm far from God. I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I don't know where I'm at. Make it right now. Make your decision right now. I just want to pray with you. I want to pray a prayer with you that will change your life. You say, I'm far from God. I've never made that decision, or I was walking with him, but now he seems a million miles away. I want to come back to God. Make this your moment. Make this your moment. If that's you this morning, every head is bowed. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. This isn't about embarrassing you. This is about connecting you with Jesus Christ. But if that's you this morning, make your decision. You say, I want to be included in that prayer. Right now, just slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hines going, great job, guys. That's you. Just slip up your hand right now. You want to join those five. You want to join those five. Thank you. Heaven sees those hands. Guys, if you want to join them, I just want to pray a prayer with you this morning. You can slip your hands down. If I didn't see your hand, heaven saw it. Just pray this prayer, and we're all going to pray it out loud with those six who raised their hands. Just pray this prayer out loud and mean it in your heart. I can give you the words. You got to mean it. Just say, Dear Jesus, forgive me. I'm tired of living in bondage. Jesus, set me free. I accept what you did on the cross. I accept your forgiveness. Thank you for setting me free. I want to live my life for you. Thank you for putting a robe of righteousness. Thank you for putting a ring of authority. And thank you for the gospel of peace. In Jesus' name, I give my life to you. And I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, Amen. Come on, guys, let's give God praise for what He's doing this morning. Lord, we praise you. Praise you, God. Guys, let's go back into a time of worship. Man, if God has set you free, worship like you never have before. We're going to praise Him. We're going to end this service just praising our God. Our God who has set us free. We're going to praise Him for what He's done this morning. Come on, let's sing together.